Hey, this is DJ Bornshine, founder of Catsbury Park, and you are listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cool and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Oh, hello, everybody. Welcome back. Happy New Year. First episode of the year, and I am fired up, ready. It's kind of hard to say that you're like fired up to talk. I am fired up to talk.
You just go into work one day, you just bust down the door.
Yeah, I'm fired up to be here, but I am fired up to be here. I am happy we're back. It feels relatively long. I know we did record last week, but I don't know, for whatever reason, I think it's because we recorded in the morning, and the guest before that was, like, recorded at a separate time. It feels like it's been a while.
We haven't been on a normal schedule in a while, since our usual record days are right around two holidays.
So. Yes, so we are back, we are scheduled, we are back in the flow for the foreseeable future, so... Michael Berlow, happy New Year and welcome on back for...
Scott, it's terrible. I keep writing 2018 on my checks.
Yuck. I'm
topical.
So I wanted to... let's start right at the top of this show. We didn't do a very good job promoting last year. So the places that the podcast is able to be heard. Obviously, you have your podcast platforms, your Apple Podcast app, and you could use Stitcher, any podcast platform. Laughable is a cool one because you can find out, like, follow different comedians and see every podcast they're on. So it's just a cool app in general that you can get us. But we are also – one thing we are on – we didn't promote too much last year. I'm trying to make a conscious effort. One of them is the BS Podcast Network. If you follow us on Twitter, you see that we are – they constantly do a lot of work for us promoting our cast. There's a lot of other podcasts on there. So the BS Podcast Network is a place where a ton of different podcasts are, including ours. So go give them a follow. And Burloop, we got other news, right? We got other news for the exposure going into this year?
Yeah. Well, we just joined the DCN Internet Radio Networks there, Scotty.
That's all about DC comic characters. One week we interview Batman. One week we interview the Joker. One week we interview the Flash. So we're very happy to be part of the DC universe now.
I think you're thinking about somebody else there, Scott. This is the Discovery County Network.
Discovery Radio. County. That sounds like a very fictional place.
Much of our audience come from a fictional place, so that would be surprising.
Right. All right, so where is Discovery County? Go ahead.
But the DCN Internet Radio Network is a part of the Discovery County Network that helps get the word out on businesses, events, communities, and people in the local area. The radio network serves two main functions: to provide a way to help grow local economies by spreading the word on businesses, nonprofits, and events in the given area, but also to provide good music and local talk. And I guess we're providing the second part of that, Scotty.
And where is it? Where is it based out of?
It's based off of the West and all. They list out like Oregon, Washington, Utah. So
all places I want to visit.
I always want to go over to the West.
Me too.
Not to stay there because you guys are kind of expensive in most of the big states, but
yeah. But so we're happy to be part of that and give them a follow. I'm sure they're starting to grow as we also try to grow over the years. And I just simply wanted to get the promotional part of the podcast out of the way. And guys, follow us. Follow us. Twitter, Instagram, we are constantly putting up. We're doing a thing right now that we're kind of in the middle of putting up, like, our guest of the year and stuff like that we talked about last week. So we try to put one of our definitely New Year's goals is to try to put up some more content for you guys, some daily posts and whatnot. So check us out.
Yeah, and obviously, as we've been saying, one of our other goals for 2019 is we want to be talking with her. We want to hear what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what kind of fields we should look at to get some guests, you know. Let us know so we can be even better entertainers than we already have, which I know is impossible to think of, but there are ways of that happening.
Yeah, and the other thing is if you, you know somebody or you are somebody interesting and you think you have a cool story or a product you want to push or an event or something like that,
yeah,
we'll get you on the show. It's not like, you know, you could be on the show with the likes of Bo Duke, and you can be on the show with the likes of Christian Okoye. Who knows?
And we'll apologize if you end up on the show with Zap
from American Gladiators. Yeah. You don't have to listen to that part of that interview. But anyway, guys, that's just a quick business to get out of the way. Berlew, Happy New Year, pal. Happy New Year. It's always hard. Do you have any? I guess we'll do the hacky. Do you have any New Year's resolutions? Anything you're focusing on this year?
I guess the usual, lose a couple pounds. Yep. I mean, that's always the big thing and all, but just do some kind of working out some stuff. I kind of said it in our New Year's review.
Right.
I'd like to work on some like song parodies or original songs for the show and mm-hmm. just work some things out, get a little more creative in 2019, maybe yep. a little more reading and, you know, be more an addition to this world,
I'm trying to do the month of January with no alcohol.
Interesting.
Yeah. For me, it's never hard during the week, but it is definitely harder on a Friday, Saturday, football Sunday, you know, to have a beer, a couple beers. So I'm trying to do the month. I'm trying to go to the 31st, which is convenient because the 31st is the next Tap House Verbal Shenanigans comedy show where they have amazing beers. So that would be like a nice way to to end the month. But it's it is a little hard for me, like doing comedy spots at like places that are, you know, there's beer, usually generally bars, restaurants, club, whatever it is. So I had two shows this weekend, and of course the fiance was with me, and she has like two nice like vodka tonic and cranberry, like they just looked real good. But it was hard. But I know I can get to like the next weekend. It's all about the gigs during the week that I think are going to be a little bit of a challenge for me. But
Were you mostly a have one beforehand to loosen yourself up
yes.
kind of guy?
Yeah. I like to have a beer beforehand. And it's funny because I've made the mistake of having two or three beers, especially if like I'm running the show and I'm there hours beforehand. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'll have another beer. But now I've realized that a beer, maximum two beers before a set and then whatever afterwards. I don't care about afterwards. But I find after one or two, my brain's not working as clearly. But one definitely is like a muscle relax. Like, okay, I'm in the zone. It was kind of nice to do the last three spots without a single beer and kind of remember like, oh, yeah, you can do this without needing that little take the edge off kind of drink.
Be great if the bookers are like, you know, you can come back in a couple months, but just get hammered. I'm sorry. Sober, Scott, just not doing it, man.
Yeah. It kind of goes.
The new stuff you were coming up with just didn't hit.
Yeah. We need you to get hammered, man. And it just goes along with, like, you know, losing some pounds would be, you know, always would be nice, even if it's just a couple pounds. And I'm sure cutting a month of beer out would be probably help. I feel like it can't hurt. So definitely have that goal. That's only a short-term goal. And long-term, it would be more of, like, putting out a little bit more content, being a little bit more creative, keep trying to play new venues. But this New Year's already off to a strange start. I don't know if I had even mentioned on the last podcast, but my dog is he's been the last couple of months. We every time I'd go for a walk, I touch him and he'd wince in pain or bark at me, and be in a lot of pain for about 24 hours, and it usually kind of resolved itself. And I generally, my schedule is he's kind of a couch dog during the week, and then I would take him on the weekends out with, like, my friend Joe and his dog. We'd take him out in the woods, and he loved it. Go crazy. And the last time I took him, about, I think it was 2 days before Christmas, right from the beginning, he was limping all over the place. I'm like, oh, boy. So the whole walk, he would speed up and then start limping and then speed up and just start limping. And all this time, I had thought it was his hips and arthritis, because that's what the, no, I have a good vet. I love my vet. A very personable guy. Like, he really tries to save people on the money. But all this time, we were just talking, and he wasn't really examining the dog. I would come in. I called him one time, told him the symptoms. He's like, oh, give him this anti-inflammatory. It's definitely some arthritis and whatnot. So after I had gone for that walk, the one before Christmas, I started thinking that maybe it's not completely his hips, because he lets me touch his hips, like, you know. And I was thinking it's more in his, like, groin area, or kind of the inside of the hip there, because every time I move the leg back, that's when he would wince. So I'm like, that might not be his hips. So he's all busted up. So I take him to the vet, and he's like, yeah, we're gonna have to get some pictures. We're gonna have to get some X-rays. And it took a while, because I got him on a Friday, so, and then it was like New Year's weekend, so I didn't really get him till we were actually, no, I thought it was, I was getting him when we were podcasting last week, and I didn't end up getting him till about Wednesday, Thursday. And
now, is this a new vet or the same vet?
This is the same vet. This is a good vet. So I get,
because I was wondering if you had to do that awkward thing where you're cheating on your vet with another vet.
No. So he had to send the results out to, like, an orthopedist or whatever. So the result is this was like an NFL injury. Obi is temporarily out of commission with he has chronic arthritis, which is really normal in dogs, as they get older. But then he has a partially torn ACL and MCL.
Oh, yeah. We going on the IR. You're going to have to pick up some dog from waivers and all just to take him for walks. You know, it's just to say, you could sign Mark Sanchez. That's what we did when my Redskins got.
Yeah, who was the Matt Flynn? Remember, he was always the guy that people picked up.
The most money out of one meaningless game. The most amazing career.
An IR dog. So, obviously, the first thought in my mind is, oh, my God, like, this is going to result in dog surgery. And I got a wedding coming up. I don't have a lot of money to begin with, you know, like, still paying all debts from all sorts of things. And I'm like, I can't afford this right now. And so he says, we're going to try for 4 weeks, like, no activity or very little. He's on anti-inflammatory. And I also got him, we're cutting his food down. He wants me to try to cut his weight big time, to try to relieve some pain on the hips. And then I also got him CBD oil, which is obviously made from the old marijuana plant. So for 1 ounce, which is like, you know, like kind of like a medicine thing with the eyedropper, for 1 ounce, for one fluid ounce of the CBD oil, it was $75. So in the last 3 weeks, I've probably spent about $700 on my dog, between food, X-rays, the prescription anti-inflammatory, the CBD oil. It's quite a little bit overwhelming at the moment, but we're gonna hopefully, like, now he's walking around okay at home. He still limps here and there, but he's definitely not in pain. Like, he lets me touch his leg and stuff. So I'm praying that this stuff, the marijuana works wonders on him.
Yeah. If you go to Scott's wedding and wondering why the food ain't that great, just blame it on the dog.
If you go to the wedding and there is no food.
is the bride walking down the aisle with pansies?
Is she wearing jeans?
Grab their flowers.
She's wearing jeans, isn't she?
Something blue, it counts.
It's denim, damn it. So You guys might hear me putting comedy shows together for my dog's benefit. Did I talk last week about the CBD oil and what the doctor said?
Yeah.
Last week I was telling Mike about, you know, the weed's not legal in Jersey yet, and the doctor said that it's all he's going to prescribe once it's legal for dogs dealing with arthritis and inflammation, but they can't. So CBD oil is the closest thing I can use for him. So God willing, we'll have an up and active dog. I don't know if he'll ever return to being able to do like 3 miles out in the woods enough, but if I can get him to where he's at least comfortable and I can let him run around the backyard, that would be nice.
You just see him like on one leg trying to hump you and all favoring the other. Sports injury. I have to deal with it.
Yeah, man. Animals in pain, man. It's tough. It's really tough. They can't tell you what's hurting. They can't tell you what they can do, you know, and it's just, yeah, that's your best friend. That's your buddy, you know, like, and they're down, down and out.
If you're trying to hold on to money every time the thing yelps and all, you're like, oh, God,
I know.
I'm such an a-hole. Oh, my God.
And that's the double-edged sword, right? You got to take care of them. So they got you by the balls. Like, there's nothing you can do, you know, he's seven. He's not a 15-year-old dog where I say, okay, you know, like this is how you're going to live it out. He's got a lot of years left, you know.
So, out of curiosity, if you like bought a dime bag from somebody, you think that'd be cheaper than the oil?
Yes.
Like you do comedy in New York City sometimes. Just go to one of the back alleys and all, make the deal. Cop busts you and all. You don't understand. It's for old man.
It's for my dog. Yeah, we've heard it all before. Get in the car.
They drag you to jail. Oh, man.
Maybe I need to like smoke it and like blow it into his snout. Hot box him.
That might be a great bit. And all, you're just trying to figure out, I don't know how to really get this in his system.
Yeah.
Do I just pour it into kibbles and bits? Does that work?
Do I make a doggy bong out of a bone or something like that? Like,
do I get one of those things where I have to crush it into his food? I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so that's kind of what I'm dealing with at the moment. But I guess talking about the dog and talking about whatnot is probably a good segue into our guest, I would say.
Well, not bad.
Yeah.
I'll give you points for it.
Well, we have an interesting guest coming on the show. His name is DJ Bornshine.
What clubs does he perform at?
The Meow Now Club, the Kitty 42.
That probably is a real place. You got to be careful.
So DJ is one of the guys who started the Catsbury Park, which is at Asbury Park, New Jersey, cat convention. It's one of the largest cat conventions in the entire country, if not the entire world. It sounds crazy, and we're going to kind of get to the bottom of this and see what this is all about. So, Mike, I know you're a new cat owner, relatively new.
Recently, yeah.
You inherited a cat.
Going on a year now.
Yeah, that's true. That's hard to believe you've been there a year already almost.
It's weird.
So let's get DJ on the line. DJ, I'm Scott, and that is Mike, who I just merged in. Mike.
Evening, DJ.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing well, sir. Yourself?
I'm well as well. I have too many wells of that sentence.
All right, DJ. I don't even know how we really jump into this, but are you – so this Catsbury Park Cat Convention, are you the sole creator of this? Did you come up with this idea? Where did this all begin?
So, very long story short, Catsbury Park started as a rescue that I was running out of my house a couple years ago. It eventually grew to New Jersey's first cat cafe. And then about a year into that, we launched New Jersey's, I don't know if it's New Jersey's first, but, you know, Catsbury Park Cat Convention, which is like the biggest cat convention now on the East Coast. So it's like, you know, there were a series of things. Catsbury Park is I'm the founder of Catsbury Park. but I had a couple people involved with the convention, the birth of the convention, but the Catsbury brand per se is, I am the founder.
Now, there's a lot to unpack in what you just said. So you said it started, you were running a rescue out of your house, and you also opened a cat cafe. First, I guess we'll start with the cat cafe. What is this, like a place you can go bring your cat, or is it a cafe where cats are roaming around? What's going on there?
It's quite the opposite. we do get that question a lot. I assume you're not a cat person. You don't have a cat.
I am a dog guy. I just got one dog.
Yeah, which is fine. I won't fault you for it. but anybody who has a cat generally would know that your cat doesn't want to leave the house. Cats aren't like dogs. You don't bring them on play dates and stuff.
Right.
So no, a cat cafe is not somewhere where you bring your cat. We are – the Catsbury Park Cafe is an extension basically of the rescue that I started about 3 or 4 years ago. We have anywhere from 12 to 20 cats in our cafe at a time, and they're all rescues. They're all available for adoption. So we do adoption.
Huh.
It's essentially like a modern shelter. But we have a full service cafe, so you can come in and get coffee and a light snack and hang out with cats while you're drinking your coffee or tea or whatever it may be. And then all the animals that are in our cafe or are available for adoption. And we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, so we run it, like that.
Now, with the convention, how did this come about? Did a lot of people come in and kind of get the idea in your head? Was this something?
No. The idea was kind of my own. There's a big cat convention on the West Coast. I think they're about 5 years in. It's called CatCon, and we had been invited to go to it a couple years ago. And then just seeing how big that is, and I was like, oh, there should be something like this on the East Coast. And then, like any aspiring entrepreneur would, I said, well, there's something that I wish was here and it's not, so I'm going to make it instead of waiting for somebody else to make it. So I pulled in a friend, Jake, who runs a production company in Manhattan. He does concert promotions. He runs a company called Rocks Off Concerts. And I pulled him in because, obviously he has event experience. And I said, here's what I want to do. I want to do a cat convention. And he said, what's a cat convention? And then we just kind of put it together. My original intent was, being that Catsbury Park is a nonprofit rescue and all our animals are rescues and we do adoptions and stuff like that, I just kind of wanted to do a fun, cool fundraiser. Was thinking of a way to do a cool event that could be a fundraiser for our organization. And it grew almost immediately from this idea of doing a fundraiser to now we're doing a whole event that spans the whole weekend and multiple venues and people coming from all over. And
this is like the Bonnaroo of cat lovers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we're trying to make Cat Coachella, in Asbury Park.
All right. Well, take us back now before the cat cafe, and obviously way before this event happened. You're running a rescue. Did you grow up, with cats? Did you?
Absolutely not. My
really?
Cat story is relatively short, believe it or not, for somebody who is involved in so many different cat related things at this point. I am 39 years old. I did not have my first cat until I was 33. I never had animals growing up. My mother's allergic, was never disliked animals, but was very indifferent towards them. Just, as somebody who never grew up with animals, you kind of just, you don't have really any affection for them at all. I mean, I didn't dislike them. I just kind of didn't pay much attention to them. At 33, I moved in with a girlfriend who had two cats. And at first I wasn't very receptive of it. And next thing 6 months in or whatever it was, the one cat is like my best friend in the world. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a cat person. And, after a couple of years of that and like really liking cats, being like, oh, these things are really cool. I'm the type of person when I get interested in something, I want to know everything about it. And I'd like dive headfirst. So, just, was on the internet doing every bit of research I could about cats and what how to help cats, how to do this, and then was like, cats need help, maybe I'll run like a little bit of a rescue out of my house, and had a spare bedroom in my house in Asbury Park and would just take in kittens that had nowhere to go and would get them healthy and socialized and then try and get them adopted. And that's kind of where it started. And that was a complete hobby at that point. I was working full-time in the music business as a stage manager and like live technician for bands, and was touring all the time and stuff. And then when I wasn't on tour, I would just, you know, find rescue groups, other rescue groups or shelters that needed help housing kittens, and just kind of did that as a side thing.
Now, do you know the exact time where you kind of turned on to loving cats and all? Was it like a fear thing at first? Was it, hey, that's nice, why don't you stay on the other side of the couch, kitty? What was the feeling?
A really funny story that I like to tell people that they can't believe is, so when I eventually moved, at the time I was living in New Jersey, I moved to San Francisco with my then girlfriend who had two cats. And, you know, one of the first days I had fully lived there, she had said to me, hey, would you mind feeding the cats lunch so I don't have to have the neighbor come over? You're going to be there, I'm going to be at work. And my thought was, man, that's a lot of responsibility. Like, I didn't know anything about animals. And I was like, I don't want that responsibility. What if I do it wrong and something happens to them? I'd rather not. So that was where I was at not that long ago, you know, maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, where I was afraid to even feed a cat lunch because I didn't want to do it wrong. And then here
we
are.
Those balls are tricky. I just want to say that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then here we are 7 years later. I don't know when the exact moment was that I changed from that to like, holy shit, cats are my thing. But, you know, the one cat that we lived with, that was hers, that now he still lives with me. He's my best friend in the world. He's a Siamese cat. His name is Moo. He wore me down. He wouldn't allow me to not be his friend, sort of thing.
Now let's talk about the actual event here. Looking at pictures, it looks like a pretty large event down in Asbury Park. And on the billing, you have everything from celebrity cats, which we'll get to in a second, adoptable felines, DJs, games, activities, art vendors, presentations, seminars, comedians, contests, tattoos, vegetarian food, and, you know, and most important of all, cat lovers. So if someone was like, okay, they're listening to this podcast now, they're like, you know, I love cats, I live close, I'm going to go check this thing out. What is the vibe there? Is it like, that's obviously a lot of different stuff going on. What can they expect from this?
So we try and make it as fun as possible, as I'm sure you're aware by just reading out that list of things going on. Right. We don't want it to feel like a trade show. There are a lot of like kind of animal fairs where, you know, it's just, they're a little stuffy and, you know, just kind of feels like a trade show. We want it to feel like an event. We want to have, we think that we've kind of covered all bases and there's something there for everyone. Much like cats, I think that in 2019, the idea of what a cat owner is very different than what it was in, say, you know, 1999 or 1979 or 20 years, you know, like, you know, not very long ago, people thought, oh, if you have a cat, it means you must be a divorced woman in her 40s or 50s and, you know, don't have any friends and you just sit around in sweatpants petting cats. And like, you know, I can tell you from running the cafe and all this sort of stuff that people who love cats and have cats span all genders and ages and interests. So we try and cover that with our event. We carefully curated the vendor village, which is over 100 vendors we're going to have this year, and everyone, they'll be selling everything from cat toys to cat treats, things for your cats, but also things for people, cool shirts, merchandise, anything you can put a cat on, somebody will be there selling it. Then we also have, games. So we have, you know, we do cat trivia, we do cat bingo, for people that are into that. There's, arts and crafts for kids, because obviously a lot of parents come with their kids. And then we have, you know, the more quote unquote extreme side, where we have, a local tattoo shop, Neptune Tattooville. They come in and bring bunch of their artists and they do cat tattoos. And that was something that we had thought of last year. We didn't really know how it would go because it's like, again, what is a cat person, you know, are they into that sort of thing? And there was a line, like 2 hours, a wait list, like 2+ hours to get tattooed. They couldn't do enough tattoos. Everyone wanted to get cat tattoos. So there's that. And then of course there's, more on the like rescue based side, which is, you know, why we're ultimately there, is to help save cats and rescue cats. Is there's educational panels and seminars where people who are interested in learning how to take better care of their cats or help, you know, street cats in their community, or, you know, you can learn more about that. And then of course there's the celebrity cat internet influencer kind of meet and greet thing so people can meet these cat people that they, you know, follow and love. And so, you know, it's entertainment, it's educational, right. It's fun, it's for older people, it's for younger people, it's for, you know.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's really interesting. Now, as Scott was saying, there's, you got a bunch of different celebrity cats and famous animals. Just out of curiosity, what is the process of, like, scheduling these animals? And do any of these owners have, like, really special requirements for these cats to come to the convention or anything of that sort? Or are they just pretty much laid back?
I would say it's somewhere in the middle. Of course, you know, you're dealing with a living being. So there are certain precautions that you would, you know, you have to take, but most of the celebrity cats that we'll have there, these people are professionals and they do it all the time. And, you know, they have a pretty definitive list of, like, you know, we need X, Y, and Z, but if this is covered, we're good. And,
what's in Little Bub's rider?
Rider, believe it or not, it's not too much. It's a couple bottles of water and a yogurt, I think, for the owner. And that's about it. A litter box is big. You know, you got to have a litter box on hand. And you know, these old owners are all obviously in tune with their animals and they can identify if the cat seems overwhelmed. But none of these animals that do these meet and greets and travel to these events, you know, tend to be bothered by these sort of things. I have a couple cats in my house and most of them would not do well in this environment. So it takes a certain cat, you know.
So, yeah, let's talk about the real quick. So you got Little Bub.
Little Bub is like the Rolling Stones of the cat world. It's like the top, you know.
Right. You got, who's Paul the cat guy? Give us a little info on each of these guys.
Yeah, so Paul the cat guy is kind of, he's somebody who I really love to have. I think he's a little bit lesser known than certainly Bub, but some of the other people, because he's somebody who's, he's a real, like, cat freedom fighter, for lack of a better way to put it. He's out in the streets all the time, trapping street cats and getting kittens saved and getting feral cats the right vaccinations and right. Spayed and neutered and stuff. And really, he's really making a difference in the five boroughs of Manhattan. I believe he's based in Queens, but not many people know what he looks like. He's not looking for any sort of celebrity. He very rarely does events. Pretty sure our event last year was the first real event he ever did. And at the end of the event, just to kind of sum him up, at the end of the event, he took a photo with me and he posted it on his social media and he was like, thank you for Catsbury Park and blah, 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 blah. And a couple hours later, I got stopped by somebody and said, hey, you're Paul the cat guy. I just wanted to thank you for all the work you do. And I'm like, no, he was the other guy in the photo.
Right.
So it's like nobody knows who he is. He's kind of like back in the shadows. But I think that he has a very he's similar to me, where he didn't grow up with animals at all. And he, you know, fell in love with a cat much later in his 30s. And now it's changed him. And now this guy who has a full-time job and outside of the cat world, but he still finds time every day to go out and take care of these colonies and get cats adopted and save animals. And,
right.
He's doing it for the right reasons. He's not looking, he's the least celebrity of all of them, but that certainly doesn't take away from what he's doing. So I think his message is particularly important because he's somebody who's like, hey, I can do this, you can do it, and you don't have to do it for, like, this kind of fame of it, you know?
Right. All right, you got Claus. Who's Claus?
Klaus. So Klaus is was the brother of a really famous internet cat, Oscar the Blind Cat, who sadly passed away last February. But they were kind of like a duo, and they have a couple books about just like the adventures of Oscar and Klaus. And they do a lot of work for the National Federation of the Blind. His brother, Oscar, was a cat who had no eyes. And they just do a lot of work for special needs animals and things like that. And the family who had Oscar and Klaus, now that Oscar has passed away, they just adopted a blind kitten very recently. So now it's, instead of Oscar and Klaus, now it's Klaus and Juno. And Oscar is like the older cat, and he's kind of like the guardian, and the he shows the blind cats the ways of being a cat, and it's like they really have a great message and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, then you got Stash and Sir Thomas Trueheart and Catman of West Oakland and Kitten Lady. So
yep.
If you are in the cat world and this is something that pertains to you. I guess you have like the this is kind of like you said, like this is the Coachella of cats here. This is the big guns in the cat business.
It is for sure. Yeah, I mean, if you're somebody who's into the cat world and you're a follower of all things cat through social media and YouTube and all those sort of things, I mean, all the stars are here. This is it. There's not many we missed. You know.
Now piggybacking on that, do people try to get like, let's say, Little Bub? Like, what is the process? Is he sitting there with his owner? Do people come up and try to get like pictures with them? No.
So Little Bub is actually a girl. A lot of people think she's a boy. So she has special needs. So she's very small in size, and her owner is pretty protective of her. So they do a meet and greet. You can buy a meet and greet ticket to meet Little Bub, and they donate the money. They have a fund that they've created, the Little Bub Big Fund, and that money goes to all those funds go to animals in need. So they do a meet and greet, and that money is, you know, donated across different charities. And what a meet and greet includes is you get to come in a room with Bub and Bub's owner, Mike, who's a wonderful man, and you get to pet Bub. And she usually sits on Mike's lap, or he holds her in her arms, and then you get a selfie with Bub, and usually you get some sort of like little souvenir, kind of like commemorative I met Bub thing. Some of the other cats, like if you meet Klaus or if you meet Stash, you get to interact with them a little bit more. But because of the nature of Bub's special needs and health and stuff, he's a little bit more protective of her. But
now, do people go nuts for these cats? Like,
absolutely. I mean, especially Bub. People cry.
Really?
People cry when they get to meet Bub.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I see you have like over 5,000 people showed up last year. That's absolutely fantastic. Brought in over $40,000 for charities. Just out of curiosity, like, what's the furthest you've heard somebody has traveled for an event? And with other conventions, I know there's like groupies and stuff like that. Are there like cat groupies or?
Yeah,
some kind
there
of,
seems
like...
to be because I've gone to a couple of similar events this past year after ours. There was one in Vancouver called Meow Fest. There was one in Denver called Snowcats, and you see some of the same people there that go to these things. And like I said, I guess it's like any other interest, like the music world. You know, there are people who go to Coachella and they go to Bonnaroo and they go to, you know, whatever other convention there may be. So I guess it's similar to that. And you know, like those festivals, each one of these kind of has their own twist. And yeah, we had people come from Europe because I think I didn't speak to them, but I think that's because, like I said, there's one in the West Coast, a very big event on the West Coast, but there really isn't one on the East Coast. And this was kind of the first time. So, you know, obviously, if you're from Europe and you want to meet Little Bub, going to California is a long flight from Germany, but it's a lot easier to get to New York or New Jersey. So, so I'm guessing that's why we had people come from all over the country. Obviously the majority of our attendees were from the tri-state area, but I mean, we had people come from as far as, you know, Washington State, Florida, Texas, California, Europe.
That's awesome. I mean, it just shows you like the power of, you know, the internet and social media, how, you know, makes the world, you know, you find there's a festival for, you know, anybody who's interested in anything, and he brings like this group of people that otherwise would have never met each other all together.
Exactly.
For one thing. It's pretty amazing.
The internet and social media can make the big world a small place sometimes.
Right. And
you know, absolutely.
You know, you see like Catsbury Park Cat Convention, you kind of laugh and giggle, but it's cool to see like all the kind of layers underneath, you know, the fun of it. Like, oh, all this is going to charity. This is going to special needs animals. It's cool to kind of peel back that layer and realize it's just not a bunch of people in cat whiskers walking around.
Yeah, of course. You know, and that's a big, I feel like that's a big difference between our event and a lot of the other cat events which exist. I mean, all of them are great, and they all make donations and raise money and do adoptions for organizations, and you know, everyone's doing great work, but as far as I know, our event is the only one that's run by a nonprofit.
Right.
So you know, all of our profits are split between Catsbury Park, which is our my rescue, and then each year we pick three or four different other nonprofits, either rescues or organizations that we believe in and follow, kind of fall in line with our mission, and we make a donation to them too. So so we kind of spread the love, you know.
Now, you had somewhat of a, I guess you could say, almost like a celebrity endorsement last year. What happened with Kesha?
Kesha is a true lover of Cat. There's a pretty well-known tattooer in our area named Robert Ryan. He tattoos at a shop called Electric Tattoo.
Yep.
I've known Robert since I was about 16 years old. You know, he tattooed me probably 20 something years ago and has throughout my life. And all the guys at his shop, he tattoos Kesha, and Kesha's boyfriend, I believe, is from New Jersey. So they were in the area for Thanksgiving, and she had an appointment to get tattooed by him. And I guess he had mentioned to her, like, "Hey, I know you like cats. There's this, you got to check out my friend's cafe across the street." Or, and she just kind of popped in on one Thursday, and then hung out for hours with me at the cafe, and we talked about nothing but cats the entire time. She is a true cat lover, and super sincere about it, you know.
It's awesome.
What'd she order out of curiosity?
She got a green tea.
Oh.
Green tea for her.
Now, if people want to go check this cat convention out, when is it? How much does it cost? You know, when should they order tickets, and what kind of information should they go look for?
The website is catsburyconvention.com. We do have an, we're on Facebook, Catsbury Convention. And then there's also an Instagram, which is at CP Convention. It is April 13th and 14th. Tickets are on sale now. General admission tickets are $25 for the day, and that gives you access to the vendor village, all of the seminars, all the games, pretty much everything. The only thing that does not include is the meet and greet. So the meet and greets are ticketed separately, and they're all different prices depending on who you want to meet. and those tickets, I would advise anybody who's listening to this and they're interested. Last year, they all sold out well in advance.
Wow.
And because they're limited, you know, most of these, especially the cats, we don't want to overwhelm them. So it's usually limited to 50 or 100 people on the day. I can tell you that almost all of them are half or more than half sold out already. They've only been on sale for a couple of weeks. So, you know, they will definitely sell out. There is a 2-day general admission ticket that's a little bit cheaper. So if you wanted to come to both days, there's that. And we're in Asbury Park. It's very, very easy to get to. Direct train from Manhattan.
Cool town to hang out in, too. A lot of cool stuff. If you want to go after the cat convention, hang out and go see music and restaurants and bars, all sorts of cool stuff down there these days.
Exactly.
One last question for you. As you talked about before, there's the obvious stereotype about cats and people own them and all that. Did you ever come across, either with the cafe or the convention, some guy who came in who's acting all big tough and whatever, cats and all, that's a girly thing, and just like fell in love with the animals?
I don't know that specifically it happened where somebody came in, you know, maybe against it and then fell in love with an animal, but it is funny to see some of the people that do come in where, you know, we had a guy not that long ago come in, and he was your very typical New Jersey, New York police officer. He was probably 6'4", maybe 250, shaved head. He had, you know, one of those American flag with the blue cross bars on it, T-shirt on, and just, you know,
right,
a Bluetooth thing in his ear. And just you could paint the picture. And, you know, the type of person where you automatically assume, and wrongfully so, but you automatically assume, like, oh, this guy's going to give me an attitude, you know. And he came in and wanted to spend some time with the cats. And we were like, okay. Great. He went in and then left that day with the cat. wound up telling me, filled out an application for one of the cats there, wound up telling me a story about how he had went to some sort of situation when he was back before he was retired from the police force. And there was an abandoned cat there, and he begrudgingly took it home, and it won over his heart, and it was his best friend for 16 years, and he had just put it down, and his house and his life was not the same without it, and he heard about us and wanted to come meet the cats and see if he could bond with one, and he did, and now he sends me photos of him, like, watching TV on his recliner with a beer and the cat, and he's like, you know, they always comment, his family always comments on our Facebook and stuff that he's never been happier. So, you know, he is that guy was the complete opposite of what you would picture.
It's awesome.
What you picture in your head is a cat person, you know? So that was like the most stark difference between, you know, the conventional quote unquote cat lady you know,
that's great.
This guy. So
that's great.
So yeah,
I guess that's
we see all kinds, you know.
I guess that's what you ultimately do it for, right? Those kind of things, those kind of stories. And...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole thing is, you know, nothing better than, you know, getting a random email from somebody we adopted 6 months ago, you know, telling us that they're, you know, the cat
awesome,
is the best
man.
Thing they ever did. And, you know, their family is complete now. And you see, you know, sometimes we get these, you know, really shy, almost unadoptable cats, and we try and get them socialized and get them into a home, and to see them turn around and, you know, see a change of family dynamic is really, really awesome.
That's awesome. DJ, I want to thank you for giving us a few minutes here and kind of going into the story of this whole thing. I think it's very interesting, and I think you got a really cool thing going. I think I've done comedy in spots that I never thought of, but I never thought of doing comedy at a cat convention. So
you have a cat routine or put one together?
I don't think I got a cat routine, but I'd be willing to come down and do a spot down there. But is it all cat themed comedy? Is that what it is too?
I don't really know. We're still kind of putting that whole thing together. I mean, I think we want it to have, you know, some cat overtones, but I don't think that every single joke or bit has to be about a cat, you know.
Okay, well maybe we'll talk before the event and maybe try to figure something out, but I would love to do
absolutely.
It absolutely. DJ, thanks so much, man, and good luck with the convention. Sounds like you are well on your way.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me,
Berlo. I am seeing Stubby the cat as the next big cat.
You think we can advertise her?
Right. So when this episode comes out, you should definitely like be posting pictures of your cat. You know, it's got a story or a tail, if you will.
But she doesn't have a tail. Yeah, remember that? That's why she's stubby.
Right, and that's the story behind her. You know, you kind of adopted her, right? You know, you could say.
Yep, I bought the house and it came with it.
Right,
so I have $170,000 kitty right here.
It's very expensive. It's a lot of. Never mind. I was going to make a very bad joke, but I'm going to say it's a lot of money. A lot of money to pay for pussy there.
Oh, see what you did there, Scotty. Scotty, did you know that it means a second thing? That word, the P word.
Well, we've done a couple festivals. We've talked about cat conventions. We went to Kilt Fest. We went LARPing. So we've talked to furries, so you know there's something for everyone out there, and it's cool to see that there's so much behind it. It's not just like, you know, like I said, people in cat headbands and cat t-shirts like walking around.
It's not the stereotype. It's real people and it's real talk, and that's the good thing about it. You know, we break down them barriers.
Real talk, like R. Kelly.
Verbal Shenanigans. Real talk.
That's going real talk. But anyway, so DJ Bornstein, Catsbury Park Cat Convention. Speaking of animals, you saw the animal that is Randy Santel live the other day again.
Yeah, we went into a little place in Atlanta. I believe it was Lick Barbecue. Lick Barbecue, I believe, is the name of it. I'll look it up. But for our new listeners here, Randy Santel is a person who does YouTube videos where he goes to restaurants and do their food challenges. So if you ever been to one of them bars and say, hey, if you eat 5 pounds of ribs or wings or something like that, you get the meal for free. He's going literally all over the United States. He's One challenge is 49 states. He's been around the world. I think he's won in 26, 27 countries, something like that. But all he does is go around the world during his breaks from school and do food challenges. So he happened to be coming down to Georgia. So
Randy went down to Georgia. He was looking for a burger to eat.
And we went, me and Izzy went down to see him at this place, and all it was a 6.5-pound sandwich for what I think they said. It was like
six and a half pounds
of pulled pork, half a pound of burnt ends, half a sausage, I think a link of another sausage, a pound of collard greens, half a pound of coleslaw. And I'm sure I'm missing onion strings were on there, and then it was on a big ass bun. But
and this was by himself, or was this for with his buddy?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, Magic Mitch was there recording. He didn't do the challenge, but Mitch is like working his way to get to Randy level. So when Randy retires, he's gonna kind of take over as the provider or the content provider, if you will. But yeah, he did it in about 39 minutes. It was a pretty good challenge. I mean, the restaurant was full. People were getting autographs and pictures with him after the show. And I mean, he did a hell of a job and all. I know he was not feeling great going into it. A couple of challenges before they really stacked up the food on him. A couple of days before, he did a challenge in Alpharetta, which was 13 scoops of ice cream, 13 donuts, and 13 donut holes, which was an undefeated challenge.
Such a toll on the body after a while. Like I know he's very, very educated and smart with his eating and diet and stuff. But just that the expanding and taking in that many calories over and over and over again, that's got to really beat you up in the end.
Well, that one, he was definitely a struggle. He did a Facebook Live on it, and you could literally say he barely won it. It was like a 30-minute challenge. He got it in at like 28:40, something like that. But like for the last 7 minutes, it was take a scoop, put in your mouth, put down the spoon, walk around for a couple minutes, take a scoop, put in your mouth. He said, yeah, that was one of the hardest ones he ever had to do in a while, but he's been doing really good on the tour. I think he's like 8 for 9 so far. He did a double today. He did one in Georgia, and then he drove down to Florida and did a night one. So
yeah,
he's keeping it going and all. He's pretty much he's almost done with the degree. He's going to be a dietitian. So congratulations on him for that.
Did the owner of the barbecue place change the rules a couple times during the challenge, like our Sabretti's challenge?
No. I can literally say nobody has ever came close to Rohan Shetty in the uniqueness of the food challenge.
Yeah, where you need to find a rule book and study it for years to become a master of the weirdo hot dog challenge.
Yeah, just to give the new audience members a heads up, where we first interviewed Randy, he did a hot dog challenge in Hopatcong, New Jersey. Me and Scott went there live. We interviewed him beforehand and afterhand. It was a 30 hot dog challenge, and they basically have 30 different hot dogs with different flavors and so forth, but as easy as I just described it, there's about 15 other rules involved with the owner of the place, and he kept on changing it. I actually, the second time he tried it, Randy, we came there for that as well, and I attempted it, and like halfway through, I stood up, and he's yelling at me, no standing, no standing. I'm like, well, isn't Randy doing the challenge standing up? And he kind of just, oh, yeah, and he just shut up.
And then he was like, you got this much time to do this, and if you don't do this, you don't get the full amount of money. And then he was doing, like, shady backdoor deals. It was weird.
Yeah, and then somebody who's, like, an ex-professional eater won it, so now it's like, just come down and eat 30 hot dogs in 15 minutes, and I'll give you $1,000, which It's almost like it's almost scientifically impossible to perform that.
Right. And I don't know if you meant it, but all the hot dogs are like loaded with ingredients too. It's not like just plain hot dogs.
So. Yeah, I did the challenge. I did 11 and a half. I probably could have done more with regular hot dogs, but what tripped me up was freaking duck sauce with those cheap fried onions you get in the bag. And needless to say, that once it hit my mouth and all, it's like, all right, you're going to calm down on this eating thing.
Yep. So yeah, it's cool you got to see him.
Yeah, he was in good spirits. He gave me a one of his teddy bears with his food challenges on it. So it's actually next to my childhood teddy bear in the living room.
It'd be funny if you come down in the middle of the night and the food challenge teddy bear is a little fatter and the other one's missing.
This is the weirdest Chucky movie ever.
All right, bro. What do you got?
Well, Scott, it's a new year, and I'd like to keep up our traditions here on Verbal Shenanigans.
Boring the audience.
What's that?
Our tradition of boring the audience.
Yeah. We do it well. Scott, for the past 2 years, I've given you a list of celebrities, and I've basically brought out a tournament to make you decide who comes back, in your opinion, as you play God. In 2017, you brought back astronaut John Glenn. In 2018, you brought back Tom Petty. Or let me rephrase that. 2016 and 2017, that was.
Right.
For 2018 celebrities, I have a new bracket here. Scott, as you have a God complex, we're going to allow you to play God one more time and bring back one of our favorite people.
My good old God complex. All right.
Just go ahead.
I'm ready. To play God, to play Jesus, to play Buddha, whoever you want me to be. I am ready. Mm-hmm. I am in. And I bet you I'll do a better job than the current God. So,
Yeah. Maybe we'll get him on the podcast one day. He never replies back on Twitter.
Yeah.
Fucking
God.
All right. So let's go through the first bracket here, Scotty. Your first matchup, Aretha Franklin or Pantera drummer Vince Paul?
All right. I can get down with a Pantera song every once in a while. Walk. Respect. You know, I get into it. But, come on. Aretha Franklin. I mean, you're talking one of the greatest to ever do it. Influential, life-changing. Plus, she reminds me maybe a little bit of Sharon Alexander, a bigger, and I'm going to go with Aretha Franklin.
Ah, okay. Next matchup, Dennis Edwards, who was one of the lead vocalists for The Temptations, versus Roy Clark, who was a country singer and the host of Hee Haw.
I'm gonna stay with my black roots here, and I'm gonna bring back the Temptations. I'm gonna bring back Temptation. I'm not too into the Hee Haw, believe it or not. I'm not a big Hee Haw guy, as they say.
Hmm. All right, we got Dolores O'Riordan.
Ah, Cranberries.
Almost showed up on our show.
Yeah, we were working on scheduling things, but never worked out.
Or Fast Eddie Clark from Motorhead.
Fast Eddie is dead. That's correct. I'm going to bring. I was a big Cranberries fan. Still pop the Cranberries on every once in a while. I really liked the Cranberries. She was one of the ones I really wanted to get on the show someday and talk to Dolores O'Riordan. And I thought she had a very unique voice and a very unique sound. So I'm definitely bringing her back. And I remember. If they ever like determined what she did, I know like they were kind of like high.
She drowned.
Yeah, she drowned. But like, was it drinking pills? Like, what was the
that? They're not sure. They're still questioning if it was some of her depression or if she was unfortunately murdered.
Yeah,
they don't have a definitive answer. I think it's still under investigation. But the only thing we know is she was in the water. She was. For what I remember, intoxicated or had pills in her system.
Yeah,
it says
drowning in a bathtub after drinking alcohol. So I'm guessing, So witnesses told the inquest at Westminster Coroner's Court that Arorden had drunk excessive amounts of alcohol, and empty bottles of alcohol and containers of prescription drugs were found in her hotel room. So that probably paints a pretty decent, clear picture. But, yeah, 46 years old.
Yeah, it's definitely a shame. Yeah. She was very talented. Yeah.
All right.
The last one from this, I call it the North Bracket, Mac Miller versus XXX Connected.
I'm definitely going to go Mac Miller. Mac Miller is actually pretty, well, not anymore, but he was actually pretty talented. Like, if you watch, you know, like, he's not like this mumble rap guys that you think he is associated with. He actually had, like, kind of an old soul, like a jazzy vibe. So I actually respect the kid a little bit. He did, like, one of those NPR Tiny Desk shows. It was pretty good, man. Like, especially for, like, a newer age rapper, which there's a lot of terrible stuff. He was not one of them. He was actually a pretty talented dude. So I'm bringing back Mac Miller.
Very nice. Okay.
God, a lot of that bracket just died of drugs, huh?
Jeez. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. All right, look, we're going to the South Bracket. These are actors.
Actors.
Burt Reynolds versus Margot Kidder, who was Lois Lane.
Oh, to me, this is the easiest one yet. Who doesn't want to bring back Burt Reynolds? I mean, he is as American an image as it gets, right? You know, the mustache. Do you remember the original Bad News Bears?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember how aggressive he was in that movie? Like, it would never fly today. You know, like...
Are you thinking about Walter Matthau?
No, I'm talking about... Oh, not maybe not Bad Nose Bear. The Longest Yard, I think I'm thinking of.
That's what I meant.
He, like... If I remember correctly, he, like, beats a woman, and he's, like... You know, it starts off all pretty aggressive. The stuff he did would never fly today. But, plus that mustache. Come on.
No, that mustache would fly nowadays. I'm sorry.
I
know not many people would rock it, but those who could, it'd be like, damn, yeah. I wish.
I think, like, long after Burt Reynolds' body is completely decomposed, that mustache will be in tip-top shape still. Perfectly trimmed.
Grave robbers dig in there. They just see bones and mustache.
He
was in that Playgirl pose. You remember that one?
He's in a pose, and just his mustache is missing. All his clothes and valuables that he's buried with are intact. Some guy's got it framed in a shadow box on his wall. Okay. All right.
Next one. Charlotte Ray, who was Mrs. Garrett in The Facts of Life at Different Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Or Penny Marshall, who was Laverne and Shirley and a director.
I'm going with Penny Marshall. I think she had more of a impact on the entertainment world and had some comedy roots. So gotta stick up for the fellow brethren there, and especially for being a woman too in that time. Like I was reading up on her, like she had like a lot of influence as a woman in those times, like writing wise and directing. So that was not common. So got to give it up for her.
Cool deal. All right, John Mahoney, who was the father in Frasier and also a singer, or Scott Wilson from The Walking Dead, Herschel.
I'm going to go with Scott Wilson simply because I don't have many ties to, who's the other guy?
John Mahoney.
And Scott Wilson was, you know, I remember him Walking Dead, obviously, when this show was good many moons ago. He played a cool character, and he was in a couple other things too. I remember his favorite. Gatsby? Something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he was in a couple different things. Good actor, seemed like a cool dude. So I'll bring back Scott Wilson.
All right, and this is one of my favorite matchups: Vern Troyer, who was Mini-Me,
yep,
versus Jerry Marin, who was the last surviving Munchkin.
The midget bracket. in a shocking defeat, I'm going to go with the Munchkin.
All right.
Vern Troyer, we saw a lot of him. We got to know him. I feel like not a lot of people might know the Munchkin. And I feel like if we were able to talk to him, it'd be really cool to hear, like, how The Wizard of Oz was even filmed back then. You know, like, to kind of get a perspective on something that I bet you most of the people in that movie are dead. So I would have liked to talk to him, what it was like to be a Munchkin, how he was recruited. Vern Troyer was very successful, and, you know, he had a lot of, you know, a lot of movies, a lot of roles. So I'm going to go with the Munchkin.
Yeah, and just to give some background to our listeners, when we do these brackets, I give Scott any reason to bring him back. Just to give you a point of view, we almost brought back Kimbo Slice 2 years ago, just on the thoughts of the reality shows and stuff like that.
Do you remember what the finals were? I know last year was Tom.
It was Kimbo Slice versus
John Glenn,
the astronaut.
Yeah, Kimbo Slice, the once homeless backyard fighter, versus John Glenn, a very educated astronaut. You know, and then last year I know was Tom. Tom Petty blew through that tournament last year.
Yeah, last year wasn't a good tournament. I like these matchups here.
Last year wasn't good for death for you?
No. Like, this is very unentertaining. I'm sorry.
So Tom Petty blew that bracket apart last year. So
All right. Go ahead. Let's move to the East right now. We got Stephen Hawkins versus Paul Allen, one of the founders of Microsoft.
All right, I'm going to be selfish here and go on podcast purposes. If they were both alive, right, were to get an interview, Stephen Hawking, not a great interview. Sorry, it would be very, very, very monotone. It would be like talking to the computer. Now, talking to the founder of Microsoft, I feel like there's a lot of stories about when Apple came in and what Bill Gates is like. I feel Stephen Hawking, brilliant. I mean, let's be honest, that guy lived a lot longer than he probably thought, you know, and he had a lot of contributions. I don't know a lot about the founder of Microsoft. So, selfishly, I'm going to go with him in another surprise pick. Yep.
Big upset. I had him as an 8 seed in that bracket. Yeah. Very interesting. All right, we have Robin Leach from Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous versus Tom Wolfe, the author of the Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test.
Oh, boy. Can I just pass on both of them? I'll go Lifestyles of Rich and Famous. You know,
I like Paul Allen's chances in the next round. All right, we have Stan Lee,
oof,
creator of Marvel Comics, versus Joe Jackson, the father of the Jackson 5.
Joe Jackson was a giant piece of shit, so I have no real interest in talking to him. Stan Lee, however, I mean, God, you know, just imagine the things you could interview him about and talk to about, and didn't seem like a complete dirtbag like Joe Jackson. I feel like Joe Jackson is definitely an awful person. So I'm going to go with Stan Lee.
All right. And the final one in this bracket, Anthony Bourdain from No Reservations versus Bruno Sammartino.
I got to go Bourdain. Bourdain seemed like a fascinating guy. Bruno Sammartino, let's face it, you know, wrestling has its way of killing off many, many guys. He in wrestling years, he was probably an old
200 years old.
Anthony Bourdain, obviously way too early. Guy was very intelligent, very creative. I read his book, Kitchen Confidential, really enjoyed it. So I'm going to go bring Bourdain back.
All right. Last bracket here. George H.W. Bush versus John McCain.
Whew. Both men with fascinating backstories. Not even the president part, but POW, and then I believe Bush, wasn't he a parachute, like a...
Yeah, I believe I think he was in the Navy.
Right.
I think.
So, do I want to talk to somebody that was a prisoner of war? somewhat relatively respected politician, George Bush, who had a son that was also president, the family. I like to think of it as who I'd want to talk to on the cast. That's kind of how what usually my final judgment is. I'm gonna go with George Bush. I'm gonna bring him back. Now, I don't. That one's so close that I don't really have a winner in mind. I'm just gonna go with George Bush just because it could tie in a lot of other interesting people to that interview, including his son and his wife and a bunch and Jeb and stuff like that. So we can kind of find out more of a family history. Whereas McCain, I don't know a lot about his family, so I'm gonna go with Bush.
Okay. Winnie Mandela, the wife of Nelson Mandela, versus Barbara Bush, the wife of George Bush.
Well, since I already brought back Bush, I'll get all the info I need from him. So let's bring back Miss Mandela. I think it'll be a fascinating interview also. So
I was trying to see if I was going to get a husband-wife show-off there.
Well, I figured I brought old Georgie boy back. He's going to tell me all the real stuff about Barbara. Come on.
Gotcha.
The dirt, you know, that she's going to be probably very proper. So sorry, Barbs.
All right. Alan Bean, who was the fourth man to ever step on the moon, versus Steven Hillenburg, the creator of SpongeBob SquarePants.
I mean, SpongeBob's cool and all, but come on. Fourth guy to step on the moon? I mean, I would take the 300th guy to step on the moon and interview him. you know, I like the pineapple that plays the flute with his nose, but I gotta go guy on the moon, man.
All right, and the final matchup in this round, Jun Ri, who is the father of Taekwondo, versus Billy Graham, the televangelist.
I would love to talk to Billy Graham. He's probably insane, probably has insane stories if we could ever break him down to tell the truth about what's going on behind that big, powerful church of his. I'm bringing back Billy. I got to bring back Billy. Not because I like him, but because I want to pick his brain.
Gotcha. All right. So we are done with the first round here and all the brackets.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready for round two.
All right. We have Aretha Franklin versus Dennis Edwards of the Temptations.
All right. This is a close matchup here. I got to go Aretha. He's a member of a group where she was just Aretha Franklin. I mean, I would ask her what her funeral was like. That was a big deal. You know, what it was like seeing all those people line up and come say hi. I'm going Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, she performed at Martin Luther King's funeral as well. All right. Dolores O'Riordan versus Mac Miller.
I got to go Dolores here, Dolores O'Riordan. She's, like I said, more into her over the years, and she's big, really into the Cranberries for a while. Mac Miller just kind of respect more than was into, so Dolores is back.
Okay. Burt Reynolds versus Penny Marshall.
I got to bring Burt Reynolds back. He's just too classic of a character. I almost forgot he was gone. That's how ingrained he is in the American fabric here. So, yes.
Yeah, it's a shame. He died pretty close to penniless, they said. When he sold his house, it was a bunch of bad investments. And people forget when he divorced Lonnie Anderson, that was pretty famous how lethal of a fight that was between the two of them for money and so forth. So he had to, when he sold one of his last houses, the guy who bought it made a deal with him that he could stay there for practically no money. So.
And now someone's out there peddling his mustache.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Posing him and everything. Scott Wilson versus Jerry Marin, the last living munchkin.
Scott Wilson. I'm going to go with the munchkin again. Why not?
All right.
No major connection to Scott Wilson. So again, like I said, I got that idea of hearing about making of the Wizard of Oz in my head. I think that would be just a really, really cool thing to talk about. So upset pick there, munchkin.
All right. I should already pencil this in, but I'll say it out loud. Paul Allen versus Robin Leach.
Paul Allen versus Robin Leach. So that is the Microsoft guy
versus Lifestyles and a Rich.
Oh yeah. I couldn't think of Robin who Robin Leach was again. That's why I was delaying to try to Google that shit. I'm gonna go with Paul Allen. Fast, probably very interesting interview. Don't really care of Lifestyles of the Rich is Famous. So,
all right,
Paul Allen.
This might be a tough one. Stan Lee versus Anthony Bourdain.
Whew, that could be a final right there. That's Clemson, Alabama, right in the second round. Oh man, Bourdain or Stan Lee? I mean, those are two guys. If you got on the podcast, are like next level guests, woven into people's heads, respected people.
Endless stories.
I'm going to go – okay. So I'm going to go with Anthony Bourdain, and let me speak this out. Stanley, fascinating, creator of a million things. But I feel like we've heard Stanley's story. He's been interviewed millions of times. We know pretty much everything about – I feel like Anthony Bourdain is still a bit of a mystery, and there's still like parts of his life that never played out and unraveled, and he was kind of recreating himself and just – the stories that he can tell just from traveling, I would find pretty fascinating. And I felt like Stan Lee had his time. Stan Lee, lived a nice long life. Bourdain's time was cut short, and like there was a lot of time left that he could have done some amazing things. So I'm going to go with Anthony Bourdain.
I like the thinking there. All right. George W. H. W. Bush versus Winnie Mandela.
Again, this is tough because Bush, I think I'm going to go with Winnie, kind of for the same reason I just told you about Stan Lee. Bush, we have memoirs of him. We have, pretty much when you're president, everything is under a microscope, and Bush lived a nice, long life. Do we know how old Mandela was, Winnie Mandela, when she died?
I can look it up.
Yeah, but my thinking is that I don't know enough about her, unfortunately, like, which is something I wish I did. And she probably has some amazing stories that I don't know of Bush. I feel like we've heard a lot of his life. We know a lot of his life. And so I'm going to go with actually Winnie. She died at 81. So she had a long life too, but I don't know her story as much, and I'm kind of fascinated by it. So I'm going to go Winnie Mandela over George Bush.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting call. And finally for this round, Alan Bean, fourth man to walk on the moon, versus Billy Graham.
Oof. Now this is a case of where do your interests lie? Do you like the science aspect, which I'm a big fan of? You landed on the moon, basically trying to figure out why his name is never mentioned with the other guys, and then Billy Graham. I mean, we're talking a guy who was talking to thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people, sometimes tens of thousands at a time. But he seems like a douche. For douche factor alone, I'm going to go with the astronaut. For whatever reason, astronauts, I guess, have a special place in my heart. Because John Glenn made it to the finals the one year. No, he won, right?
He won.
Yeah. So I guess if I couldn't bring him back, I might as well get the next guy down the line. So I'm going to get rid of Billy Graham.
Plus, all right.
Billy Graham probably took advantage of a lot of needy people.
Definitely. All right. We're at the, I think, the quarterfinals. We're down another round. So it's Aretha Franklin versus Dolores O'Riordan.
This is tough. This is tough. And I think I'm going to stick with my with my thinking, this strategy that I kind of came up with in those last two or three battles there, as far as a life that was lived and as far as a life that wasn't complete or fulfilled. Now, Aretha Franklin, obviously, huge artist that, you know, doubles the size of Dolores O'Riordan and triples the size. Like, her music will be going on and on and on and on. Whereas Dolores O'Riordan, yes, the Cranberries will be remembered. Will they be remembered 200 years from now? I don't know. But she was 46. You never know what project she still could have came out with. And, you know, I had more ties to Dolores O'Riordan than Aretha Franklin. So Aretha lived a nice long life. Dolores, 46. I'm going to go with Dolores O'Riordan.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
And then the other one, we have Burt Reynolds versus Jerry Marin, the last munchkin. This is why these are interesting, there. You would never think these two people would show up in any kind of conversation.
Yeah. Now, the entertainer part of me wants to tell you that the munchkin would beat Burt Reynolds, but I can't do it. Burt Reynolds has to... I would love to talk to Burt Reynolds and pick his brain. I mean, I'm sorry. There was several munchkins. There was one Burt Reynolds. And then there was Tom Selleck, who was – there's one Burt Reynolds. So I'm going Burt Reynolds. The munchkin got way further than you probably thought he was going to get. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking maybe Mini-Me would have stopped him. But yeah. He had a good run there.
Yeah.
All right. On the other side, we have – Paul Allen versus Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain. That's pretty easy for me. Paul Allen, I like that story, but I think that was more towards the matchups that he was involved in. Anthony Bourdain seemed like a pretty fascinating dude.
Okay. And then the other one is Winnie Mandela versus Alan Bean, the fourth man on the moon.
Now, the Scots' love of astronauts, apparent love of astronauts, take over Winnie Mandela. Now, this is an interesting matchup because both these people are very limited, right? There's only one Mandela, and there's only a couple first astronauts on the moon.
When was the last time we had somebody on the moon, even?
I know China just put that rover up there. I want to go with Winnie Mandela. Nelson Mandela is a pretty fascinating figure. So, I personally haven't heard enough from her account in my day. So it would be something I want to learn about. I kind of know the story of the moon. So I guess the astronaut dies here.
All right. Final four, Scotty. We're almost there.
All right.
We have from the north bracket, Dolores O'Riordan versus the south bracket of Burt Reynolds.
Very tough matchup. Now, do I go with someone I grew up on their music, or do I go with the living? Well, not a living, a legend whose stories grow, whose look is ingrained into the fabric of America, like the red, white, and blue, a man that people love and still joke about and still say how awesome he was.
Toughy.
I'm going to have to go just for stories alone and a life. Now, this is almost the opposite. A life that was lived, which seemed to be pretty full and pretty... pretty full of action. I'm going to have to put Burt Reynolds into the finals. Not even because I was his giant fan, but he had so many fans and so many different stories and reinventions of himself. I got to go Burt Reynolds.
Okay. And then on the other side, the East winner, Anthony Bourdain, versus the West winner, Winnie Mandela.
Now, I know Winnie Mandela had a more social impact on this world, but Bourdain kind of... I was kind of bummed out when he died. Not really super affected, but bummed out when he died. And he would be, I think, just a guest that you could bring on 100 times and get 100 different stories and down-earth. I'm going to go Anthony Bourdain to the finals.
All right. So, Scott, we've been through a lot here together. We have eliminated 30 dead people, 30 well-known people.
Well, life,
who are
life
staying,
did that on its own.
Yeah.
But so.
Yeah, they are staying where it's at.
Right.
You have two options to bring back to this world. Are you bringing us Burt Reynolds, or are you bringing us Anthony Bourdain?
No. Let me try to think this through here. Now we got two strategies going against each other, right? Two strategies that one strategy I used for certain matchups was the life cut short, you know, mm-hmm. strategy, and the other one in now I'm using I used for Burt was the probably crazy life lived, right? So those are kind of a wash. Anthony Bourdain cut a little short, okay. Burt Reynolds, a long life, well, decently long life. I don't know. How old was he?
Burt Reynolds, I think 82, I want to say.
Okay. All right, so long life live. And what was Bourdain, about 60?
61, I want to say.
Okay. I feel if I brought back Burt Reynolds, right, what is Burt Reynolds going to give us? You know, like if I bring these people back, are they in their prime or are they – basically, they get more years.
Well, I mean, it's kind of up to you. I mean, as we said, we don't put any rules as to
gotcha
what reasoning or how you bring them back. And I mean, technically, you could bring them back and say you start from scratch and relive that amazing life in front of our eyes.
Okay. Okay. I think Burt Reynolds. Kind of put it all out there. I don't know what else I would really need to see Burt Reynolds in. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if I'm like dying to see any new Burt Reynolds movie or anything like a Scorsese film with a Burt Reynolds appearance. I don't know if I need it. I wasn't the biggest fan of him. Like, I can't say that I'm like, it was a Burt Reynolds super fan, which I know there were people out there. Similar Bourdain, I think with Netflix and streaming, I think Bourdain could have really gone on to do some really cool things still, whether he stopped his travel show and did some kind of weekly show or did special documentaries on Netflix and released things, streaming things, cooking shows. The man had a lot of different things that I was kind of interested in. Just to travel alone, I think Burt, like I said, we've seen what we need from Burt Reynolds. We've seen it. Bourdain, I think, did a lot of amazing things. I was no super fan, but I think he could have done a lot of cool things. I think more books were going to come. I think there was a lot of stuff that he could do. So I'm going to bring Anthony Bourdain back. Final answer.
All right, Scotty. Well, we went through the bunch, but the world can be happy that you get new episodes of No Reservations or whatever's left in Anthony Bourdain's mind, because you, my friend, played God and brought him back to this world in 2019. And we thank you for that.
Oh.
On a side note, for honorable mentions of other people who passed away last year, Mark Salling, he was an actor on Glee. Reg E. Cathy, he was on The Wire and House of Cards. Hubert de Givenchy, who was a fashion designer. Pamela Gidley, Twin Peaks. Zombie Boy, a model who was also in Lady Gaga's Born This Way video. 49ers great tight end Dwight Clark. Grandmaster Sexay, Brian Christopher, Scotty Too Hottie. David Pearson, NASCAR Silver Fox, Hall of Famer, Jim Neidhart, wrestler.
Oh, Jim Neidhart.
Ray Emery, Stanley Cup winning goalie.
Yep.
Willie McCovey, Major League Baseball Hall of Famer. Nikolai Volkov, Harry Anderson, who played the judge in Night Court. Keith Jackson, the sportscaster, called all the college football games. Alan O'Neill from Sons of Anarchy. And Joel Taylor of Storm Chaser fame on Discovery Channel. Any of those names have any meaning where they could have went somewhere for you, Scotty?
The only ones that really stuck out were, like, the wrestlers that I grew up with. But like I said, wrestling death, I'm sorry, it doesn't affect me. The wrestling death is usually littered with a lot of drugs and heart attacks and awful drug abuse and alcoholism, and it usually is caused by that lifestyle. A couple of the other ones were just actors. Zombie Boy, I have no clue who that is.
He actually had his whole body tattooed, and his face was tattooed like a skull.
Oh.
Like, I'll send you a picture later.
So he was just preparing for the inevitable.
I guess so. I mean, that was his stage name. So
No, none of those would move the needle for me. I don't think if any of those were in there, would change. Like I said, the surprises would be the midget from the Wizard of Oz. Never knew I really wanted to talk to him until today. I've also learned that I have a thing for astronauts. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what we learned today.
Well, thank you again for playing God, Scotty. You can rest easy until 2020 comes around when you have a new list to go from.
All right. Well, hopefully that list is there's nobody on it.
Well, there's already three, if I recall. Gene Okerlund was one. The captain from Captain Antonio, the dude who played Super Dave Osborne, who was also on Larry Sanders' show.
Yeah, I tried getting him on the show. I was just thinking, do we have, is there anybody that's been on the show that's died?
I was thinking that over. I don't think we have anybody who passed away. We came close to, who was the UFC fighter who was also a sumo wrestler? We almost got on with Sharon Alexander.
I forget his name at the time, right now, but... Yeah.
Yeah, he was like the OG UFC where you fought five times. There was no weight classes, really no rules. But I think he was in like UFC 3. He was like really big dude. But I know he passed away from a heart attack. But anybody actually on the show that passed away?
Emmanuel Yarbrough. List,
but I don't think so.
Emmanuel Yarbrough. Was his name.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't think so basically what I'm saying is our podcast has kept people alive. That's how it goes. But I had some things I'm gonna save them for next week. I think it's time to skedaddle and get out of here and get this year underway here. So I want to thank our guest, DJ Bornshine, and Anthony Bourdain will be on next week.
Awesome.
Berlo, let's get out of here. Anything to promote?
I guess I will promote one of our friends, a former guest of the podcast, Daddy Bumper Car. He does his own little small podcast with his, I guess his puppet friends, we'll call it, like Pig and sometimes his kids, which is called the Bumper Cast. You know, it's a little mini podcast that he does weekly to biweekly, and all just some quick thoughts that come to mind. Very adorable, family friendly. Check out the Bumper Cast on any of your podcast devices.
Yes. Oops. Almost played a song there. I'm actually going to promote a former guest of the former guests, I should say, of the show. A couple years ago, we had a band by the name of Steven Seagulls, which is they do like folk.
Bluegrass
covers of like old rock songs. You got to hear their version of Thunderstruck and The Trooper by Iron Maiden. A lot of cool stuff. We had all five of them on. They recently released a new album called Grainsville. And they're kind of like, Are You Gonna Go My Way? Panama's on there. I Was Made for Loving You. Sabotage by the Beastie Boys. Voodoo Child. They did it again, a bunch of interesting covers. So I think it's a cool album to go check out. So might as well promote that. I guess that's it. So like we said at the beginning, check out the BS Podcast Network. Check us out on Instagram at Verbal Shenanigans, on Facebook at Verbal Shenanigans, on Twitter at VS Comedy. Check us out on the Discover the radio station. Go give them a like. What is it? Discover County Network, right?
Yep, DCN Internet Radio Network.
Yeah. So a lot of good things coming up in the new year. Guys, thank you for listening. Thank you for always being there. We'll try to keep bringing the funny, keep bringing the interesting, and keep bringing on good guests. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Bye, Mike.
See you, Scott.
You know I'm gonna be like you.